It's showtime, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
My mic on? Now my mic is officially on. They tried to silence me. Cam Black. We got a guest. We got the guest in the house. Cam, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. We got the best producer in the game as well, Justin Feist.
What's popping, boys?
What's up, man? This is the first time we've done this trio, but it's like Bron, Wade, Bosh, Clay,
Steve
Dre.
Nash.
I mean, you can name all the legends, all the greats. We're next up, fellas, and I'm very excited. Welcome to a Friday edition of Overtime. My name is Malcolm Harris. If you don't know, now you know. Tanner Carson is out covering high school football tonight. You know, he's a hardest working man in the show business, man. And we're very excited to be here up until 8 p.m. That being said, man, we have a lot of content for you all tonight. But before we get into that, the Next Door Home Group Hotline by Eli Corum and the good folks at Keller Williams is officially open. 865-546-8200. Give us a call, man. If something that we say during this 2-hour time slot piques your interest, man, we'd love to hear from you. Justin will field your call, and we're looking forward to it, man. And with that being said, Bama, I have been dodging this topic all week. Cam, talk to me, man.
Man, it's one of those games. It's just we gotta get through it. Pretty much, it's Tennessee's going in with not many expectations from our end. So I think that does take a lot of pressure off us. You know, the big thing is come out healthy because that stretch run is important.
Mm. Big time.
Big time. Big time, man.
Talk about low expectations. Did you guys know this was a 35-point spread?
You're lying.
Yeah, it's insane.
35.
Five touchdowns. I think we'll cover just because that's huge. That's insane.
They really put a 35-point spread. Man, y'all better go out there and – that's so embarrassing. You know how embarrassed I would be?
That's disrespectful, too, almost. Like, I understand we haven't done much this year, but come on now. 35 points in an SEC game.
So, Cam, you know, the people might not know, we're both Georgia boys, man. Yep. We're originally from the state of Georgia, and we're going to talk a little Georgia football later in the show because we got a lot to cover. But walking into Bama, the good old state of Alabama, if you're Coach Pruitt, What is your game plan right now? What are you telling your players right now?
Ooh, you got to be aggressive. I think you got to be aggressive. Like, if he gets 4-for-1s, I think you got to go for those. Just because. You're not going to beat the best unless you take some risk when you're in this kind of situation. Like, we're the underdog. We got to come in. We got to hit him in the mouth. Come in fast. Mm-hmm. And I think main thing, like, offensively and stuff, is going to be ball control. You want to keep the ball out of the hands of Tua. You want them to have it as little as possible because they will put up points. So you got to make sure of it. You want to keep it manageable. You want to be in the game. That's the thing, is you just want to stay in the game, and then you never know what can happen.
So with that being said, tomorrow, 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern kickoff time, who is your starting quarterback?
I think they are going to start Maurer. He's been practicing with first team, so I think he is going to be a go. And I know some people are like, he's been injured, maybe not risk it this week. But, hey, I think this is invaluable experience for, like, long-term future. Being a freshman going on the road at Alabama, that's about as big as it gets. So this will really help him out, I think, in the long run, especially even if he's, our guy down the stretch going to some of these other SEC schools playing on the road. Mm-hmm. It'll be nothing compared to playing at Alabama. So I think he kind of needs the experience. I think he'll be fine. This Bama defense isn't as dominant as it has been in the past. So it's not like last year with Garantano with like Florida and stuff where he's just getting his head taken off every play.
Yeah.
It's a little different than that, but I think he'll run with it. I think he'll do well out there.
Yeah, we actually do have somewhat of an offensive line for the first time in a couple years. So maybe if Maurer does get rolled back out there, he won't get absolutely hammered. But I don't know. Maybe if JG goes out there, he's 14 of 26 passing in his career against Bama, and he has He has minus 42 rushing yards total career against Bama. So either way, it's going to be tough. Like Cam said, though, you got to try to control the clock as much as you can and keep Tua off the field. Bama's giving up 133 rushing yards a game on average. So that, you know, involvement, that heavy involvement we saw from Ty Chandler and Tim Jordan last week against Mississippi State needs to kind of be replicated. Last week they split 35 carries pretty evenly between them, combined for around 120 yards, which would get them near that 133-yard average that Bama gives up. Hopefully Eric Gray can get somewhat involved. So offensively, that's kind of the plan. Keep Tua, keep our boys on the field as long as possible to keep Tua off the field.
I'm liking it, man. I'm liking it from both of you guys. I'm looking at this scouting report. I call them the four horsemen, man. I've been saying it all week. Waddle, Smith, Judy, and I'm forgetting one. Waddle, Smith, Judy, and Ruggs.
Yep.
Okay. And Ruggs is probably going to have four TDs just because I forgot him.
Yeah, send them up.
So, guys, to me, the impact player of the game tomorrow has to be a guy that picked off Tua a couple years back, Daniel Bettuli. I think he honestly has to have the best game of his collegiate career tomorrow. You know, and if he wants to be drafted, which I think Daniel Bettuli is draftable, this game he's going to have to pop off the page.
Absolutely.
So with that being said, do you guys have a particular impact player tomorrow that is going to give Tennessee any hope at all during this game?
I would say it's got to come from the defense because, of course, like with this high-powered offense, you're going to need to make some plays against them. And I want to say it's Darrell Taylor. I don't know if y'all saw it, but he had some like quotes that came out. He really wants this game.
He does, doesn't he?
I like seeing that. That's what you want to see. Like, we know we're undermatched, but you still coming out there with the confidence and you want the game. I think, you know, if he has a dominant performance out there, he's getting the Tua. Hey, you never know what can happen. Force a fumble, force him into a bad throw. That's the kind of thing you need. Pressure can change a game.
Yeah, so defensively also – I mean, Najee Harris is a freaking beast.
Monster, man.
Our D-line is going to have a good day to stay competitive. A little bit of both of what y'all said. Daniel Bettuli and Darrell Taylor are the guys that I'm looking at, and they're going to have their hands full at linebacker because Najee Harris is averaging over 6 yards a carry, and when Tua throws to him, he's got over 10 yards of reception.
Dude.
He's just an animal. Four of his five touchdowns are actually off of receptions this year, not runs. So, Bettuli, Taylor are going to have to keep their eyes locked on him, hopefully stop him inside of, you know, 8 yards every time he touches the ball. And all I have here, you talked about the secondary a little bit, but yeah. As far as our secondary goes, whoever's covering Devontae Smith, good luck.
Good luck, yeah.
Man. He's got nine TDs on the season.
Hey, we got two freshman All-American corners pretty much. If they need – this is the time they need to step up. This is when you need to play like an All-American.
An exciting thing – Cam was talking about play aggressive. An exciting thing I saw last weekend's Mississippi State was Coach Pruitt sent Bryce Thompson – on a corner blitz, and he got the sack, and that was a last-second adjustment. Pruitt was screaming at him to just freaking go, and we need some type of that type of magic if we're gonna have a shot.
He was throwing some exotic blitzes out there last week, and I love to see it. Like, defense played great last week.
They
like, if you can get anything
mind.
Similar to that, you'll at least be in the game, you know, at least for a half, and then from there, you never know what can happen.
Well, fellas, we're coming to the time, man. Before we go to break, let's rip off the Band-Aid. Let's go score predictions. Justin, we can start with you first, big boy.
Yeah, so we talked about that spread was 35. I guess I have us barely covering the spread. Alabama 45, Tennessee 16.
Okay.
So it's painful to say that, but that's just how
I mean, it's
it
painful,
is.
Man.
You go, man.
You go.
I think we'll cover. I've been saying this all week. I think we'll cover. So I have us actually doing a little better because, like, they have shown they've been scored on this year, Alabama. Like, they haven't beat a single SEC team by more than 28. I think we're going to also be within that trend, and I got us getting there 42-24. Bama's going to win, of course, but I think it'll be a little more competitive than people think, and I think it'll be a kind of fun game and show some good potential moving forward.
Oh, man. I'm going 52-21. Tennessee will strike first, though. So it will be an interesting game. It's going to pull on the heartstrings a little bit, And then from there, it's going to completely be a Tua show.
Yep.
I think Jerry Jeudy, he's kind of been forgotten about this year with all the wide receivers. They're going to make it a point to get Jerry Jeudy the football tomorrow.
Yeah.
So.
We actually have a guest picker. We have our own Matt King on the line.
Oh, do we really now?
Matt King, you with us?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's Matt, what's going on, man?
I just arrived into the hole in the ground that is Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I have to say, guys, it's terrible down here.
Hey, you better carry the fight and keep it there for 60 minutes, Matt. You understand me?
Yeah, I bet somebody's going to, you know, howl at me. Somebody will do something disrespectful. But you know what? I can just tell them that Dixieland Delight is about Tennessee. And just go.
Hey, that always hurts them. That hits home for them.
Matt, I don't know how you're going to do it. We've talked about you're not a drinking man. It's going to be tough to be down there tomorrow. You're going to hang tough? What do you think the score's going to be?
I'm pretty brilliant.
Matt, you with us?
I'm going to paint you a picture, yes.
All right.
Sorry, I must have cut out there for a second in this terrible place. I had a dream last night that the Vols were playing well. Now we're throwing touchdowns, Tua getting sacked. And this game was a lot closer than people thought. That being said, Tennessee 24, Alabama 59. Y'all have a great weekend.
Thanks, Matt.
You as well. I love that kid, man. Because he's a realist.
Enemy lines.
All right, man. He's taking the fight, keeping there for 60 minutes, man. Before we head to break, just want to say, got a message from John Reed a couple minutes ago. Fan Run Radio team, a couple of us, we're going to be at Elkmont Exchange tomorrow watching the Alabama-UT game. There is great food, great drinks, cold iced beer. It's going to be at 745 North Broadway here in Knoxville, man. So you guys make sure you come on out and fellowship with us tomorrow, man. It's going to be a very exciting time. Hopefully, our score predictions are completely wrong. But I highly doubt that, man. And with that being said, we got so much more content. We're going to jump into a little bit more college football, as well as get into a little bit of baseball, followed by a Thursday night football recap here in this hour one. You're going to be back with more Overtime with Fan Run Radio right after this. Stay tuned. Got Meek Mill in the headphones. It's a beautiful time, man. I'm getting hyped up. Ready to run through this studio wall.
Let's keep it going,
man. Before we dive in, college football is here, and MyBookie is the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. With MyBookie, you get real Vegas odds on all the biggest games. Don't forget the NFL. This year, MyBookie is hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. Pick 5 NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool payout. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. Double your deposit with promo code Knoxville. That's promo code Knoxville at MyBookie, the official sports book of Fan Run Radio. It's fantastic, man. It's fantastic. Had to get the business out before we could dive in, man.
Absolutely. So, gotta let people know what they gotta do.
You know, you gotta get the money right. Gotta get the money right. Somebody getting their money right, well, getting their players right, is Chip Kelly, UCLA, man.
Yeah.
Big victory over Stanford 34-16, man. How you feeling about that one?
Stanford's been kind of a letdown this year.
Haven't they?
KJ Costello was supposed to have him right, that quarterback, but Chip Kelly seems like he's kind of got the ship right after a rocky start there. You know, that Washington State win, I think, kind of turned it around for him a little bit. Quarterback play's been a lot better. He's coming into form again. I think he's kind of figured out how to, you know, adjust his offense to, like, now, the modern times. Because I don't think he was used to being, you know, caught up, because he was such an innovator when he was at Oregon.
Yeah.
I think he's now finally getting his system adjusted to what everybody's doing now, and, hey, it's leading to success.
He was so innovative at Oregon, that first thing. I mean, he changed the way we looked at college football. And for him to kind of fall flat on his face, it's crazy. I will say that, David Shaw is a very respected head coach in college football. Is there any chance somebody in the NFL is like, all right, enough. We know you're a great coach. You just had a down year. Come on to the NFL and let's do it.
I mean, if there was a time for him to leave, it would probably be after this kind of year.
Yeah.
Like you said, he is super well respected, but also his stock probably has taken a little bit of a hit recently. You know, he definitely is not at his peak higher ability that he was a few years ago. But, yeah, no, I think he would still be a good coach somewhere. And he was a defensive coordinator originally, right? Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of teams that would absolutely love to have him in the NFL as a defensive coordinator at the worst. And like you said, absolutely has head coach potential. You know, we already got one firing in the NFL, so we'll see how much else goes on.
I'm telling you, man. I know some key stats from last night's game. Dorian Thompson-Robinson had 21-34, a little under 200 yards with two TDs on just one interception. So he played lights out, as well as added 65 yards on the ground rushing. So Chip Kelly getting them right. But tonight, man, we got a couple of games, but I kind of want to shift over towards tomorrow with some ranked matchups. And we're going to stick in the Pac-12. Looking at number 12, Oregon, at number 25, Washington, man. That's a excuse me, man. I inhaled a little something. I was like, oh my gosh. It's a battle of two potential first rounders and Justin Herbert as well as Jacob Eason, man. How you feeling about that one?
Oregon's been really good since that Auburn game. Like, since then, I don't think they've allowed over like 9 points, I think is the number. Their defense has been insanely good since that Auburn game, and Herbert's been lights out as well. He's playing great right now. I think he only has one interception on the year. He's looking awesome. He is looking like the first rounder he's always been like projected to be. And he's got that team rolling, and they look real good. Washington is looking pretty solid as well. You know, they've dropped a couple games, but they seem to always do that. They always seem to drop a couple games they shouldn't, and then they come to play for these big games. And they really play well at home, too. So I definitely think this will be a close one.
Both teams have 5 wins on the season. I know Justin's real big into spread, so they got Oregon with 2.5, man. That's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's a tough one. It is a tough one. I'm looking at Oregon because I thought Justin Herbert was a fool coming back. I would have taken the money. See ya. Wouldn't want to be.
I would too.
But he has refined his game, and like you said, he's only thrown one pick, got 17 TDs, and Jacob Eason, to me, was the best out of all three former University of Georgia quarterbacks, out of Fromm, out of Fields, which, you know, I do love and enjoy Fields, but Eason just had that something, that NFL something. And to me, man, I'm going with Washington in the upset tomorrow.
Okay.
I think Eason is going to show the world, hey, I'm a first-round talent, and there's a reason why I'm here at Washington, and I'm taking the starting job.
This would be the matchup to do it, for sure, with Herbert on the other side. So,
who you guys taking in this one, man?
I'm going to go with Oregon. I think their defense is just going to be little too much, and I know Easton's good. I don't know. I just don't know if he can, you know, spring a amazing game against, you know, that defense. So I'm going to take Oregon.
That's real.
I'm rolling for Oregon as well.
Rolling with the Ducks, huh?
Yeah, I think it'll be close for a good while, but I don't know if Washington will be able to keep up with them. Yeah, that Oregon offense, Washington's defense hasn't been nearly as good as Oregon. Like, I just don't think Washington's going to be able to score enough to keep pace with Herbert over there.
I like that, man. Let's stick in the Pac-12. We got number 17, Arizona State. They are taking on number 13, Utah. And I know we saw Utah a couple weeks ago, obviously, because we were scouting for BYU. Herm Edwards has got this Arizona State team.
Right,
man. Does a trink continue?
Well, talking about spreads, they have Arizona State severely as the underdog in this one. It's crazy. I think it was like a 13.5. Yeah, it's 13.5 is the spread on this game between a ranked matchup like this, which is super rare. Utah's been good, but also they haven't really played anybody. If you look at their schedule, they haven't played any big-name teams, and they do have a loss. I think Arizona State will have a real good chance, and their resume is slick, a lot better on the win column. They beat Michigan State at Michigan State, so that's a big win. They beat Cal, who's ranked, and they beat Washington State when they were rolling early in the season. I think Arizona State could get the upset here. I would not be surprised. Herm Edwards has got doing some good things out there. It's crazy.
Justin, what's up? Talk to me, man. What are you thinking right now?
I don't know if Arizona State's going to win outright, but with a 13.5-point spread, I think I got to take Arizona State here anyways. Both teams are 5-1. Arizona State has played some decent teams, and like Cam said, Utah, you know, hasn't had that impressive of a resume thus far. So, I mean, that spread is just kind of juicy, and I think I'm going to go with Arizona State in this one.
I'm with you guys, man. We're going clean sweep right now because I'm looking at their schedule. They play BYU, which is literally – they have two wins, but they could easily be winless right now. Northern Illinois, Idaho State, lost to Southern Cal. They beat a good Wazoo team in Oregon State, but I think Herm Edwards and this defense – just hard-nosed football team is going to take over, and it's definitely going to be a good one, man. And let's round this out with, to me, the game of the week. We 2 years ago, Saquon Barkley came on the scene during this game. I mean, he single-handedly cemented himself as a first-round pick. So it's going to be Michigan, number 16, at number 7, Penn State. Does history repeat itself? Is Penn State going to make a statement right here, right now?
I think they do. I don't think Michigan defense is quite as strong as it has been the past couple years. They're still good, and that's still what they're known for, but I don't think it's the same defense. And Penn State's really explosive, especially with KJ Hammer. That kid, he's explosive. He's made big plays for him all year. I just don't think Michigan's going to be able to slow him down enough to get the win. Yeah, I think Penn State will come out of this with a victory, but I think it'll be a pretty good game. Spread is Penn State favored by 9, and I think that just has to do with Michigan's just – they can't seem to figure it out on offense. I don't know what it is under Harbaugh, but they can't figure out how to move the ball half the time, and that's going to be their downfall, as it usually is when they take L's.
You're so right. You're so right. But the thing is, man, I am so invested into Shea Patterson. I want Shea Patterson to be better than I think Shea Patterson wants to be better. You know, like he has all the talent in the world. When he was at Ole Miss, I thought, oh, he's about to be a Heisman Trophy winner in 2 years. Book it. And then he just fell off of a cliff, man.
Harbaugh's just regresses. I don't know what it is up there, but like you said, Ole Miss, he looked like he was going to be the next big thing, but I don't know what Harbaugh did to him.
I don't know either. It's absolutely crazy, man. So I'm looking at the spread. Justin, what do you have according to the spread? Is it?
I'm looking at 9.5.
Okay.
My bookie got something different.
No, they're right at 9.
Okay.
They're right at 9. So for me, give me Michigan in an upset. Because I think we were talking about the Purdue game in Michigan a couple weeks ago. They allowed one rushing yard.
Yeah.
James Franklin's offenses are based off of the rush, and then from there you go with play-action passes and open up the secondary. So to me, I think if Jim Harbaugh and that defense can just play right, and they got smacked by Wisconsin a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Penn State plays very similar, but if they can just be disciplined on that defensive front, Shea Patterson makes the throws he needs to make, give me Michigan by a field goal.
I'm a known Jim Harbaugh hater. That is not a secret. I will always pick against Michigan in these type of games. Taking Penn State, they both played Iowa in a similar fashion, both in recent weeks. And Penn State, if you remember back to the beginning of the season, that Maryland team that was just throwing up like 70 points per game.
Yeah.
Penn State blanked that team and handed them a donut a few weeks ago. I think their defense is going to be too much for a Jim Harbaugh offense that hasn't been all too electric. And so for that reason, I'm going with James Franklin and the Penn State Nittany Lions.
Okay. Well, guys, let's before we cut the break, man, two things we got to take care of. Upset alert. Upset alert, man. Who do you guys think? I'll start it off, man. I honestly think tomorrow those Florida Gators are going to be on upset alert. I think Will Muschamp, if he can do that to Georgia, that's the recipe. You have to just take that and do it to Florida. I mean, whatever you did last weekend, you take that and you literally make Kyle Trask make decisions. But I will say, Dan Mullen is a lot better with X's and O's on offense than Kirby
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. So. If I had to take someone for upset pick, I'm going to go Baylor. I think Baylor is playing Oklahoma State this week, and Baylor's, I think, undefeated still. I think Oklahoma State's going to give them a run for their money, and they're finally going to hit that time where the luck's going to run out for them. And I think Oklahoma State has a real good shot of getting them. And also, like, that Arizona State game still, I think that's a potential one as well.
Can you believe Baylor's 6-0?
It's crazy.
What's going on, man?
It blows my mind, too, because, like, you know, they had so much bad stuff around the program. It's like they didn't even They didn't even take a step back. It's crazy.
Flinch, like,
gosh.
Yeah, it frustrates me, but yeah, I think they'll finally catch a loss this week.
Oh, man. Justin, round us out, man.
I'm kind of grasping at straws here. but I'm looking at the – shoot. I guess I'll go with Arizona over USC.
Okay.
It's a 10-point spread.
Yeah,
I think that's manageable for Arizona over, you know, a USC team that's not looked all that great lately.
That's definitely a solid pick, man, for sure. And I kind of want to just round out our college football segment before we head off into our next break and get into some MLB. Heisman predictions as of right now. Who's your Heisman? I had to be so thorough with this rundown, but it's Cam Black, man. I had to come prepared
having me.
No, I appreciate you being here, bro.
But Heisman, I think I still got to stick with Tua for now. I think that LSU-Bama game is going to come down to also being like the Heisman game as well, because I think him and Burrows are the two front runners right now.
Yeah. I said the exact same thing Wednesday. We talked about it, and I was just like, you know, we'll see the Heisman front runner on Saturday on full display, man. Give me Tua Tagovailoa right now.
I like the way that Hurts kind of shut up Texas last week.
Oh, yeah.
He's still, you know, top spot for me. But like I said a couple weeks ago, if Joe Burrow can get this LSU team to finally beat Bama, I mean, that's my pick hands down because he's done amazing things for that team this year.
Okay. I actually got to see him live last weekend. I was down there for LSU Florida.
How was that,
man?
It was pretty cool. It was a cool experience. You know, that stadium was rocking, of course. They were real into that game, and it was a good game, of course, too. So, like, it stayed lively the whole time. It was wild watching that whole stadium do the Gator Chomp when they were beating Florida. Like, it was pretty cool. But, he looks good live. So he's the real deal, I think.
What they say about Death Valley, is it true? Is it just different at night?
It was loud, but I'd still say I've been in louder kneeling games.
Okay.
I will say that. But no, they did a good job. I think it's just the stadium design makes it a little different. Like, the field could be louder, but stands, I think Neyland still got the advantage.
Did you see they had over $1.1 million in alcohol sales?
Oh, I could tell.
Last week. Yeah.
For real?
We had a drunk dude, like, falling over on me in the stand and stuff. Man, everybody was stumbling around there.
Man, that's crazy. If you're not selling alcohol in your stadium by now, you're fumbling the bag.
Oh, absolutely.
Fumbling the bag. So we're going to, I know you said Jalen, but Joe Burrow is right there as well in the Heisman conversation. And after the break, man, we're going to get into another Joe. This time he's in the MLB with the new manager spot for the LA Angels, man. We'll be right back with more Overtime. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Overtime, ladies and gentlemen. This segment of Overtime is going to be brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 13 varieties to choose from. And bench the beer belly bloat with the light, refreshing taste of Truly. Put it in your game day rotation tomorrow. You got plenty of time. If you start at 7 a.m., you can have one flavor per hour up until kickoff.
That's dreams, right? That's goals right there.
Did the math, man. And drink what you truly want, Truly Hard Seltzer. And Justin, you said that Sam's, what can the people get again?
Yeah, it's like a 24 assorted pack. It's either 6 or 8 of the different flavors, you know, minus the rosé, of course, because they only sell that by itself. But yeah, okay. 6 different flavors at least, and it's a 24-pack for $26 with Sam's card. So,
man, that's a deal.
Get yourself a girlfriend or boyfriend with a Sam's card, huh?
That's a deal, man. That is a deal. I like that.
I'll go borrow my mom's real quick.
I'm telling you what. Mama. Man, let's get into a little MLB. I know we were talking about Joe Burrow, but let's switch shifts. Talk about Joe Maddon. He is 65, returning to the Angels organization, that is LA Angels. He spent his first 3 decades of his career with the Angels and then went to the Chicago Cubs for 5 seasons, of course, leading them to their first World Series title in 2016 after 108 years. He's officially back in baseball as the manager of the LA Angels, man. Is this a good move or a bad move?
It seems like a decent move for an organization that has kind of caught some flack in recent weeks, or I guess the past month. I don't know if you guys saw any of it, but you guys remember back when their pitcher Tyler Skaggs overdosed in the middle of the season. The news came out that he was actually getting some of those opioids from a person within the Angels organization, and the person that reported that also reported that there were other players within the Angels clubhouse who were also using opioids and getting them from the same individuals within the organization. So that's some bad PR, especially when your player OD'd like that.
Yeah, that's a mess, bro.
Getting supply from the inside. But yeah, as far as that goes, the Angels kind of needed to make a change. Joe Maddon has a great history as, you know, leading great teams, and I think he's a good skipper to try to chart them the right course. Hopefully they get rid of everybody that was ever mentioned in that Tyler Skaggs situation, because that is just rough stuff there. You know, nobody needs to be around that kind of environment, and, you know, that should not be taking place in a professional athletic setting. So
100%, man, 100%. Well, I will say that he does have a huge piece to build on, and that's what obviously Mike Trout.
Absolutely.
So wishing the best of luck to the LA organization, but somebody that might need some luck, man, New York Yankees. It's not looking
they're
good.
They're dead.
Are they dead, Justin?
They're dead, man. So they had moments last night when, you know, they could have struck and, you know, made the game, you know, close. I think it was I forget what the score was, but I think Astros were up. I think it was 3-1 in the bottom of the fifth. Yankees loaded the bases with one out, and Astros reliever Ryan Pressly came in and struck out Torres and Encarnacion back to back to get out of that bases loaded one out jam. And that kind of felt like that was the final momentum chance, you know, that just died out there for the Yankees. That you know, those K's just killed all momentum, you know, they might have had. And then, of course, the next inning, the icing on the cake, Carlos Correa came up, hit a 3-run homer to left off Chad Green, put the Astros up 6-1. And the stadium was, I mean, it's Yankee Stadium, always loud, always raucous, and the stadium was pretty much silent after Stros took that 6-1 lead. The Yankees' defense was abysmal. They had four errors on the evening, contributed to a number of unearned runs for the pitchers. And, you know, the final score was 8-3. Astros ended up winning after some later inning runs here and there. But the Astros have swagger and momentum, and like I said, the Yankees feel dead. So Verlander's getting a start tonight for the Stros, so I think he's going to shove. And I think, you know, the Astros lineup has just been amazing, honestly, top to bottom offensively. So I think they're going to keep pouring on the runs. They're going to have that same offense that they've brought the whole postseason. So I think it's going to be wrapping up tonight. Verlander's going to get the win, and I think it's going to be an Astros-Nationals World Series starting next week.
Man, thank you for that, Justin.
Yeah, buddy.
Appreciate you, Brad. With that being said, man, I have a tweet to share with you guys. This is actually to the day. It's 2012. So that's 7 years ago to the day. Before he was even president, Donald Trump tweeted out, if the Yankees can somehow beat Verlander tonight, then they can still salvage the series, and I will go to game 6 and 7 so they will win. That's 7 years.
That's probably getting mad retweets.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's absolutely crazy. I will definitely send this to you guys in the break. But it's been 7 years and 2 days, and this could have been tweeted right here, right now. So I just think that it's like not a Mandela effect, but like something
that's
similar.
Yeah, that's itself. Wild. Yeah. The Simpsons always predicting everything, yeah. Every move that's ever been made. Man, that type of deal.
That's absolutely crazy. You know what else is absolutely crazy is the fact that Bryce says there's no hard feelings. He's happy.
Oh, yeah. Man, I mean, there's nothing you can do.
He's just saying the right things, you know.
I mean, there's nothing you can do. He's got a beautiful wife. He just had a kid. He is such a rich, 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 rich man. I mean, he's probably ticked that, you know, he's not, you know, still there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they dealt him. He signed the contract, and he'll be in Philly, so he's just got to hope that the Phillies can get their act together. They're in the market for a new manager right now. I think Dusty Baker is one of the names floating around for them to pick up. But they've been kind of just floating in no man's land for a couple of years now. They haven't made the postseason since 2012 or 13, I think. So low expectations there. I mean, obviously you get brought in for that much money, you know, expect to gain something from it. But in baseball, I was talking about it the other day a little bit. You know, it's not like basketball or football where you can bring in one high-dollar guy and just expect to benefit exponentially in the postseason off of that. Baseball is, you know, it's 160-odd games. You know, there's so many moving pieces. There's nine guys on a team that have to be performing well, plus pitchers every single game consistently for you to have success. So it's hard to rest expectations and hopes on one guy. But when you're getting paid that much, you know, that's naturally going to be there. But, I mean, he'll do what he can. I think he's just kind of – he's chilling. I mean, I guarantee he's having some nice vacations, getting some nice quality time with the family. But at the same time, he's probably definitely a little pissed off that he's not there as well.
I mean, like I was thinking just now, two things. Number one, every time he does come to the plate, he makes about, what, $40,000?
Oh, it's much more than that, man.
That's crazy to me.
Much more.
That, I mean, to me, that's absurd that one player makes the medium amount of income in Philadelphia.
You gotta love that no salary cap, dude.
No salary cap.
Gotta love it.
Oh, man.
It just amazes me that that is sustainable. Like, when you actually think about it, like, yeah, there's 160 games a year for, you know, to be televised, but if you actually think about, like, the numbers, it blows my mind that, like, those types of salary burdens are sustainable for teams.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's just so much money tied up in long-term TV deals and advertising in baseball. You know, if you get 80-ish home games a year, that's just, you know, millions in revenue every game. If you have a successful franchise and you make your stadium nice, it's a good fan experience. You know, even if your team is not good, you're going to bring in concessions revenue, ticket revenue every game. And there's just so much money in baseball. And everyone always talks about trying to reduce the season, but, I mean, that's really hard to do. And baseball is a old school game, and it's slow. A lot of people, especially young people now that, you know, didn't grow up watching it, it hasn't been America's pastime in a while. You know, they want to speed it up, and baseball's trying to, you know, appease, you know, the younger generation and people that are wanting the game to speed up. But you can only do so much, and I hope that, you know, they don't get crazy with any rule changes just to try to change the game. It's a beautiful game in its form. It is slow, but I mean, it's in its own category as far as the level of strategy and just the subtle nuances and different intricacies that go into every game. I mean, it's a long season, but you see it when it gets down to the postseason. I mean, every inning feels like it's a, you know, its own playoff game sometimes. So,
I mean, there's nothing like baseball in October, man. I mean, it's you're absolutely right. But as far as Bryce, stars got to get paid, man. It's just what it is, man. You got to appease to the stars. And we're going to switch gears right now with overtime. We're going to talk about another star, specifically one that is kind of dimmed right now with injury after last night's Thursday night football game. So we'll be back with more overtime right after this. Y'all stay tuned. This segment of Overtime is brought to you by the great team at KC Kitchen Center in historic Bearden. From the founder of Knoxville Stone Interiors comes a brand new exciting experience that goes beyond just countertops. Wanting to exercise your creativity and learn how to make a new appliance, create a healthy recipe, or make and take a project for your home? The Creative Classroom has you covered. Need space for a meeting, trunk sale, party, or shower? There's plenty of room for rent in their spacious event center. And yes, there's still the same wide selection of countertop options for your kitchen, bathroom, or any other space in your home. Call 865-971-5800 for a free in-home estimate and visit them online at kckitchencenter.com. Our very own Justin Fikes, as well as Tanner Carson, will be with Kelly tomorrow at KC Kitchen Center at noon to give you a little preview on Periscope of Tennessee, Alabama. So definitely make sure to log on once that is tweeted out. We love to see it, man. We truly love to see it. Guys, what we don't truly love to see is when injury strikes, man. And specifically to this guy, I mean, I'm just going to call it what it is. He is the most electrifying player in the NFL right now, to me. Patrick Mahomes He hurt his knee in the first half of yesterday's Thursday night game. Of course, Kansas City rolled over Denver 30-6. But the MRI came back clean. MRI came back fairly clean, and he should be back in 3 to 4 weeks with a dislocated kneecap. What's the instant reaction right now?
Well, that was best case scenario injury. Like, after the injury, that's best case he could get is that 3-week, 4-week diagnosis. Glad it's not, no ligament tear or anything like that. Because like you said, he's like the most exciting player in the league right now. It doesn't only just hurt the team, it hurts the league as a whole. Missing out on that. They got a Monday Night Football game coming up soon in a couple weeks. That's going to probably hurt the ratings for that. Because if you tell somebody, hey, I'm going to go watch Matt Moore play, that doesn't get you as excited as, hey, I'm going to go watch Patrick Mahomes play.
Right.
So you're losing a big market there. But you hate it for him. Like, he's been such a good player. It seems like players on all the other teams really enjoy him as well, as you could tell by the response from Denver last night. But you really hate to see it, and you just hope he has a speedy recovery and comes back without losing a step and is the same player he was, because he's been playing well this year. Like, not as big as the numbers as last year, but he's still been a really good player. Just wish him the best, really.
He has been so effective, man. And I want to toss this question to Justin, because he is your former head coach of your Philadelphia Eagles, man. Andy Reid.
Yeah.
He's an elite play caller. He knows the X's and O's like the back of his hand. Why in the world would he run his quarterback on a quarterback sneak knowing he's banged up?
Well, the reason is they got the first down. It's a very high quarterback sneak's one of the highest percentage, conversions that you can do on, third and short, fourth and short. But it is a little suspect to do with a quarterback that is already banged up. Now, that being said, it's not, he didn't re-aggravate or get his ankle twisted, that same injury he's had. So that's not really – it doesn't put Andy Reid in that much in hot water. If it had been his ankle that had been hurt in that scenario, then, we're talking, why the hell did you do that, Andy?
Yeah.
But honestly, I think this could end up being a blessing in disguise. Obviously, the Chiefs' record might not necessarily reflect that with Moore having to take the reins for a few games. But it's also been no secret that, Mahomes has not been the same Patrick Mahomes that he was in games 1, 2, and 3 in these past few games while he's been nursing that ankle. So, I mean, obviously, obviously knee injuries are scary, but it came back okay. And assuming he can heal up well, it'll also give his, gimpy ankle time to heal up as well. And, he's been saying that he had the ability to do all the things he needed to do on it, but you can't quite step into throws the same way, and his completion percentage went down. Since he's had that hurt ankle, has went down about 10%. So he hasn't been the exact same electric Patrick Mahomes. So if he can come back from the knee and fully recover from that, I think he could end up being almost better off than if he had kept playing the whole season on a half healed ankle. So we'll see what happens there. But my instant reaction was, oh my God, I'm glad I did not start him in fantasy, because I swapped him out for Russell Wilson. Patrick Mahomes ended up with like 7.2 points. Is that right?
Somewhere
I don't know.
Around,
I didn't start
around
him.
There.
I started him because I am Boo Boo the Fool, man.
Nah, you can't see that coming, though.
In the league we're in?
Nah, in the other league. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
in the league we're
one,
in.
Yeah.
Yes. In the Yahoo league we're in. Yeah.
Oh,
I started him there, but it's okay. Hopefully Cooper Kupp makes up for it. I think he might. But guys, I kind of want to ask you guys something before we head off into hour two. Joe Flacco looked horrible last night. I mean, it's not his fault because he was on his back for half the game. But we're seeing now two teams with the Chiefs. Obviously, Pat Mahomes is going to be out 3 to 4 games. And Flacco was just not getting it done. I mean, he's just not good. I mean, there were scoreless for the entire second, third, and fourth quarters. Do they trade for quarterbacks right now? Either team.
I don't think Kansas City will. I'm pretty sure they won't. I think Matt Moore settled in, and he looked fine. He had the deep pass to Tyreek Hill. I think he'll be able to manage with those weapons. I think he'll be fine. I don't think they're super worried there. Denver, I still want to say no, but I'm also not sure how much they actually like Drew Lock.
Yeah.
They have waiting in the wings. Like, if they really kind of like his progression, hey, maybe you get a quarterback change first, but like you said, I don't think it necessarily was Flacco's fault entirely yesterday. Like, when you're getting sacked that much, there's not much you can do. Like, shoot, even the punter got sacked. That's how bad it was for him yesterday. Like, man.
Yeah, that Denver O-line did not do Joe Flacco any favors. And, while they were waiting on Patrick Mahomes' news, they were just playing the footage of how many times Flacco got taken down. And there was, like, two fumbles in the first half. But, yeah, he was just getting obliterated. So not much you can do on that front. But they definitely – seems like he's not going to be the guy. But, John Elway's going to John Elway, so he'll probably just stick with Joe Flacco until he dies.
You guys are crazy. Nah, I absolutely agree, man. And with that being said, it has been a great, great, great hour one, man. I mean, I could probably sit here until about 10 p.m. talking about this, but we're going to sit here for the next hour.
We got to save Nate the light bill. Who wants to cut the lights off?
Y'all cut the lights off, close the door, man. Oh, man. Well, it's been a great hour one. We will be back with more overtime right after this break. Y'all stay tuned.